Today's reading from the book of Hebrews has this wonderful, extremely long sentence at the end. And when I was in school, teachers, I was taught, this is a no-no. It's a very long sentence. It goes and goes and goes and goes. But it's a sequence of phrases strung together by a common theme. It's a journey. It's a passage. It is indeed a pathway through life. What have you come to? Have you come to a mystery that you cannot comprehend? Have you come to a mystery or something that is frightening? No. You have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. It's a sequence. It's a pathway. It's a journey outside in, from the world into the very holy of holies, there in the heavenly Jerusalem, there in the heavenly holy of holies, before the high altar where Christ Jesus himself brings his sacrificial life, his sacrificial blood to sprinkle on the altar and right the wrong of death and murder and the end of life. Right the wrong of evil and sin that we see even in the blood crying out in the blood of Abel. It's a journey, it's a pathway. From the outside in. It's a journey. It's a pathway into the holy city, into the holy of holies, through the angels, up to God and the altar, and Christ and the blood of the Lamb. It's a journey and a pathway from the outside in. We all have journeys in our lives. We all make a journey outside in. From the outside, from the world, from where we started, where we began, into a life of relationship with family and friends, into a life of relationship with sisters and brothers, into a life of relationship in the church, into a life of relationship with God, into a life in relationship with Christ, into a life in relationship with the saints in glory. We move in our lives of faith through relationships and experiences towards that which God calls us, towards the sanctuary, towards the holy of holies, towards life eternal with God. We all have our journeys. We know our journeys. We can look back on the path that we've gone and we can see where we've walked along, sometimes staggered along, sometimes stumbled and fallen and picked up and brushed off, sometimes steps back, sometimes leaps forward. We can look at our pathway and we can see the journey we've made. And what this is telling us, what this is reminding us, is that just as we can look back and see the journey we have made, so also the journey forward into the mysterious is nevertheless not mysterious, because we make it with God and we make it with each other. We make it with the angels. We make it with the saints in glory. We make it with our sisters and brothers into the Mount Zion and the holy city, New Jerusalem and the Holy of Holies. We make this journey together. That was one of the things that I loved about my time in the monastic community when I was a novice of the Society of St. John the Evangelist. It was wonderful to be part of a community of men who, even though we were very different types of people, nevertheless, shared a common faith and a common hope and a common prayer and a common purpose, and joined together in common vows to walk a common path and to reach out to all with the uncommon message that we shared of the love of God for all. When I was a novice of that community, I had the joy of traveling to France, to Tazay, and getting to meet Brother Roger and many of the other members of the Tazay community. It was an incredible experience. This was the first of the great ecumenical monastic communities, the first of the religious communities that did not pay attention to denominational affiliation, but instead sought to find that which we had in common in faith, in love, in service, in social justice, in reaching out to right the wrongs, to be the hands and feet of Christ, active in a broken and hurting world. This was the first of those communities that reached beyond denominational barriers and sought to proclaim the good news in word and in deed. It was founded in 1944. And grew over a very long period of time, especially with the youth of Europe and the youth of America who would come to Tazay to learn the religious life that Brother Roger and the other members of the community were learning themselves from other monastic communities. And inclusive of men and women, they grew and grew in their proclamation of the love of God, in reaching out. Brother Roger was an amazing man. He was vibrant even when I met him. He was almost 80 at the time, and he was an incredible man of vision and brilliance. He wasn't a Roman Catholic. Most people think, oh, Tazay, that must be Roman Catholic. No, it truly is ecumenical. It stretched beyond denomination. Brother Roger started as a Reformed theologian, a Calvinist theologian. I mean, if you know anything about your theologians, they be tough. Calvinists are really tough. They learn their theology. They cut their teeth with it. And for him to go from such a mental orientation, such a mental theological task, to become eventually one who believed in marrying the mind and the heart seamlessly together, it was an amazing experience to meet him. His witness to the love of God called him to enter into communion with Rome without repudiating or leaving his Reformed sisters and brothers. So much so that two popes communed him. And when he died, the cardinal who headed up the Congregation for the Propagation of the Faith, Bishop Casper, gave the eulogy, the sermon, at his funeral mass. Brother Roger was an amazing man. When word came in 2005, at the age of 90, he was getting ready to retire. Getting ready to retire at 90. No, you're not old. No. No. You're not old. Yeah, no, Isla, you're not old. He was getting ready to retire at the age of 90. Now, he was wheelchair bound. And when the word came that he had been stabbed to death multiple times in the middle of a worship service, I can remember breaking down in tears. When confronted with such evil, and it was senseless evil, meaningless evil. It wasn't somebody making a theological statement or a political statement or any kind of a religious statement. That would have been bad enough. This was someone who had a mental illness, diagnosed schizophrenia, who took a knife and multiple times stabbed Brother Roger to death. It makes you wonder about pathways, journeys through life. His, Brother Roger's, had been one of showing the love of God to all. Without fear, without apology. Showing the love of God to all. I learned a great deal from the Tazze community. One of the things that Brother Roger did not like was formal preaching. He would often preach. He would do it sitting or wandering around when he could walk. He was an amazing man to listen to because his sermons were free form. They flowed almost like a conversation with oftentimes a dialogue and questions that would spur him on in further conversation. I tried to model some of my Bible study leadings after his example of proclaiming the word. He was an amazing man, and I learned in the community much about the religious life. Just as I learned from the monks in the Society of St. John the Evangelist, my fascination and joy of praying the scriptures, taking the Psalms, and singing them, chanting them, proclaiming them in song. The music of the faith. I learned that in the monastic community, and I learned it in Tazze. Our journeys, our pathways, from where we begin to where God has us to go. If we look back on our journey, we can see the trip, the problems, the stumblings, the failings, and we can see God's hand picking us up, dusting us off. And we can see where others have been the hands and the feet of God and the lips of God, speaking love and faith, comfort and forgiveness. I was struck when I heard the news, not just of Brother Roger's murder, but then at his funeral, when his successor, head of the Tazze community, got up and prayed a prayer of forgiveness for the person who murdered him. Oh my. I realized, and that was in 2005, I realized how little I had progressed in my faith journey. It's similar to how Pope John Paul II forgave the man who attempted to murder him. That is a religious and a spiritual state that I'm struggling to grasp. In today's song, in today's hymn, the second hymn, we have some beautiful theology proclaimed. One of my beefs against modern contemporary music is that so many of the choruses that are sung repeatedly and over and over and over again are rather shallow when it comes to theology. Methodists, we do our theology in our hymnody. We sing our faith in our hymns. In our anthems, we sing our faith. So to take the hymns away robs us of our faith. It's one of the reasons why I struggle with the so-called contemporary worship style. This song lends itself to the contemporary music style, and yet it has a powerful theological message. Especially for today, and especially in the light of Brother Roger. Now, we sang the words. I want you to listen to them as they're read, because when you sing something, you experience it differently than when you read it or hear it read. So listen to it being read. In the Lord, I'll be ever thankful. In the Lord, I will rejoice. Now, last Sunday, I spent almost 30 minutes explicating the phrase from Hebrews, pursue peace with everyone. I could take this and explicate it and discuss what it means to say, in the Lord I will be thankful, in the Lord I will rejoice. But no, that's not the purpose here. Look to God. Look to God. This is the heart of it. Do not be afraid. Lift up your voices. The Lord is near. Lift up your voices. The Lord is near. In our journeys, in our pathways through life, it can become a challenge to step forward in faith for fear of what comes next, for fear of the next step on the journey. Where is God going to lead me? Sometimes you can see the path. Sometimes you can't see the ground under your foot. But God calls you to step forward nevertheless. In those moments when you can't see the ground under your foot and your next step, the words are clear. Look not to your step, look to God. Do not be afraid. Brother Rogers' brilliance was being a theologian of the mind. He took that theology of the mind, that mind faith, and he made it heart faith. And when you put the mind and the heart together, it became active, action faith. Faith that wasn't dead, faith that wasn't just intellectual, faith that wasn't just emotional, faith that wasn't placid, faith that was active and meaningful to him, to me, to millions. Look to God, he said. Do not be afraid. As we go through our path from the world to the Holy of Holies, we're called to look to God and not be afraid. Look to God as we've come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God. Look to God as we travel through the heavenly Jerusalem and to innumerable angels in festal gathering. Look to God in the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven. Look to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, completed, made whole. And look to God, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Look to God. Do not be afraid. And take the step on the path that God has for you from yesterday to today and on into tomorrow. As we move on into the fall, as we move on towards the end of the church year, as we move on towards the end of the church year and the beginning of a new year with Advent, look to God. Do not be afraid.
Lord, we ever thankful. been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of St. Stephen United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2010 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at St. Stephen United Methodist Church, 2520 Oates Drive, Mesquite, Texas, 75150. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.